Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful for your love and that you've taught us what it really means to serve. And as we take a few moments this morning to rediscover what Jesus taught his disciples prior to the bread and the wine, the remembrance of him, might that change our lives that we can truly be servants for you and to one another? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to John chapter 13. Very familiar chapter to all of us. John chapter 13 through John chapter 17 is really an inclusive rendering of an important teaching or teachings in the life of Christ as Jesus prepared his disciples for his eventual crucifixion and resurrection. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. Beautiful expression there. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Four powerful statements of action. Continuing, after that he poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wash them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto the Lord, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Lord, Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. This was the third or perhaps fourth Passover that Jesus with his disciples was coming to Jerusalem. He knew where he was going and why he was here. But his disciples thought that he was going to set up a new kingdom. And they were ready to decide who should be on the right hand and who should be on the left. And they were amongst themselves jostling to find out, no, I should be the one. No, I should be the one. No, I should be the one. Jesus' heart was severely torn as he saw that his disciples were not prepared for what he came to tell them in that upper room. He came to tell them of his demise at Jerusalem. But they were vying for the highest place. So the words of comfort that he wanted to give them, the words of consolation he wanted to give them, were stayed upon his lips. For 3 years, he had tried to teach them the most important lesson that there is to learn as disciples: the lesson of humility and service. We too balk at that. That's not my job. I ain't gonna do that. That's somebody else's job. I ain't doing that. We do not want to take the lowest place. We want to sit in the most reserved seat, have all the service, and grumble about that. But Jesus knew that with that spirit, his disciples were not ready to enter into his last supper. And so he sat. He had already told them what was needed. There's an upper room. It's fully prepared. Have this, that, and the other ready. And everything was ready but one thing: a servant to wash the feet. Now, in the Jewish economy and in the Roman world, servants often washed feet, but they were slaves. And a slave, when he washed his feet, one's feet, had to gird himself with a towel. But a Jew did not. In the New Testament, you hear, if a person is a widow, they say, has she washed the feet of saints? Husbands' feet were washed by wives or by their children. But Jewish servants did not wear towels. Only slaves did. So when Jesus took his garment off, first he looked around waiting to see what would his disciples do. Had they finally come to understand what it meant to be a servant? He waited in solitude, looking from one to the other, telling him that his heart was pained. And for a moment, they were in sympathy with him. But as the time wore on, they acted like they didn't recognize there was something missing. And so they talked with one another and they frittered about this and that. But nobody was willing to become a servant in the upper room. Finally, Jesus looked around, seeing that their hearts had not grasped the meaning of servitude. He arose from supper. Now you know what that means. He was in the supper upstairs. in the heavenly courts. He was at supper. But he arose from supper to come down to this dark planet. He was not content to there be the center. He said, no, Father, I'm coming down here to this planet and become a servant. So he rose from supper. And then what was the next thing he did? He took off his garment. He took off the outer garment. But he still had a short tunic underneath that. Remember at the cross when the soldiers were trying to figure out who would go to what? Remember? He still had the short tunic on. And as he took that, he took it off. He laid it aside. Jesus took all of his privileges as the Son of God. Visibly, he laid them aside. He still had them. He was still God. But he didn't come to us in the form of God. Isaiah 53 very clearly says how you come. As a root out of the dry ground. There was no form or comeliness that we should desire him. He didn't come like pretty boy Floyd. Oh boy, isn't he beautiful? Oh, isn't he? Yeah, we're going to follow him. No. He came as a humble servant with no kind of outward show. He took off his garment. He laid it aside. And then what was the next thing he did? He took a towel. The form and recognition of a slave. Because that's what slaves did. Jewish ones did not. He didn't even come and stoop just to become in the form of a Jewish servant. He came as a common slave. Why? He came to reveal to us the Father. You see, everything that Jesus came to do was to reveal God to us. We could not see God. So Jesus came in human form and spoke to us in human language so that we could understand who his Father was. Even the Holy Spirit did not come to reveal to us who the Holy Spirit was. He came to reveal whom? Jesus to us. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples the quintessential truth about the Father. The Father is a servant to the universe. The Father serves the entire universe. He is not there to be served. He is there to serve. So he sends the sunshine on the just and on the unjust. He sends the rain on the parched lands and on the desert. He sends blessings to us in manifold ways. So we're driving along and we don't even see it, and a truck passed us at high speed. We were just going to change lanes. We'd be in smithereens, never have made it. Every day, God gives us breath and life. He doesn't have to. We don't deserve it. Nobody can twist his arm and say, Uncle, you got to give it to me. God, by his grace, gives it to us. And so in that upper room, Christ put on the towel of a servant because his disciples didn't get it. 3 years he was with them and they didn't get it. And for many of us, we've been in the way for decades and we don't still get it. we don't understand that our role here is to reveal the Father who was a servant. Jesus was a servant. And we have come to be served. So Jesus had to start with the disciples. And the first one he began with was the one who thought he was in the highest place. And that was Judas. John was the last to be served. Judas was the first. And as Jesus washed his feet, Judas was thrilled over and over to confess his proposed plan of betrayal. Confess it now. Let Jesus know. He almost came to that point of confession, but pride kept him from it. Similar story with Lucifer in heaven. Left his place, caused disharmony in heaven. Jesus brought it to him. Lucifer almost came to the point of surrendering and going back to his place, but pride kept him from it. We may have our feet washed, but pride may not disappear. It may still be there. We may go through the motions, the foot washing, the ordinance of humility, the sacraments, and yet our hearts have not been changed. Jesus' heart bleeds for us. Now, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's free, but we have to decide to choose it. Finally, he comes to Peter. Peter understands the slavery issue and intent. And he's, oh, no, no. No, no, you can't wash my feet. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said to him, if you don't want, let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. We would like to have a part with Jesus. But for many, we don't want to be cleansed. I want to come just like I am and keep doing what I want to do. And when I get ready and my thoughts and my ideas, and nobody's going to change me. But Jesus said, unless you let me wash you, you have no part with me. Isn't that what Matthew 25 said in the last judgment? People came and said, Lord, but we cast out devils in your name. Lord, we did miracles in your name. Lord, we did this. And what did Jesus say to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. You never let me wash you. You never let me change your heart. You wanted to keep doing what you're doing. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Finally, Peter got it. Okay, not just my feet, but my head, everything. Jesus said, no, no, no. You're already a part of me. But sometimes we get contaminated with evil and we have to come back to Jesus and say, 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's much here. We cannot talk about it today. We don't have time to discuss it today. But I would like you to look in the Desire of Ages, chapter 71 and 72. Desire of Ages. If you don't have the book, you can Google it. Just go to Google. Put it in your browser. Desire of Ages by Ellen White, chapter 71 and 72. To be prepared for the communion, we have to have humility. That's what it's about. So as he washed their feet, all but one submitted their wills to Jesus, and they were ready to partake. Today, as we separate, each of us have the opportunity to make a decision. Not just to go through the motions. Sure, there are towels there and there's water, and wash somebody's feet and come back inside and rush through, got to walk in, the time is leaving, got to go home, got to get something to eat, you know, and all that. Understand that. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, how merciful you are to us. We don't see ourselves as you see us. We don't understand what you know about us. We come proud and bold and defiant. But you want to make us humble. You do not humble us. You allow us to decide to humble ourselves. So bless us as we separate here, as the children stay here for their story hour, as the women go to the Jackson Taylor and the men go to the Pathfinder room. May we search our hearts that you may make us clean. Jesus washed the feet of Judas, a traitor. As we come back, we'll look at that poem just for a moment and remind us, no matter who it is, Jesus washed the feet of his traitorous disciple, Judas. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.